Friday, the 21st of December, Yud Beis Teves, Erev Shabbos Parshas Vayechi, Rabbi Yehoshua Hartman, Insight into Parshas Vayechi.
Good morning, Rabbi Yisai. I want to speak today about the Madrega of Yosef, to develop a little bit of point here. You know, the two Shvatim that Yosef has, he has Ephraim and Menashe. Initially, he was supposed to get this gift of two Shvatim. It says in Divrei Hayamim, Reuben, because he's the Bchor. That's called double. Why was it, but Reuben did what he did, chata ma shechata or lo chata, whatever, and it was taken away from him and given to Yosef. So if Yaakov Avinu would have told Yosef, your first two children will be Shvatim, that would make a lot of sense. But he's saying a little bit more than that. He says, Vatashne banecha hanodim lecha be'erat Mitzrayim, Ad bo'i elecha mitzrayma. What do the words ad bo'i elecha mitzrayma mean? Prior to my arrival. Prior from when do you start measuring it? So says Rashi there on the spot, kelomar shenoldu mishparashta memeni ad shabati etzlecha. They were born in the period of time that you separated from me till I joined you. Meaning, Ephraim and Menashe had to be born in those 22 years that Yosef was separated from Yaakov. The Chizkuni says here on the spot, that if Yosef would have had those children after the age of 39, they wouldn't have been Shvatim. And the question is why? Why is he worse off than Reuben? Reuben wasn't 22 years away from home. Reuben was home the whole time. And if he went to Mevabel Yitzui Aviv, he would have gotten the two Shvatim without being in exile for 22 years. So why would that very same gift is transformed over to Yosef, new strings are attached, and there's a timetable of 22 years. Reuben didn't have it. And this is what they say, Zelofer. That's what they say in Hebrew. Zelofer. Okay, that's question number one. Question number two, what's Bechlav understanding of these 22 years? Why after these 22 years they'll be Shvatim? And otherwise they won't be Shvatim. Your first two children will be Shvatim, come what may. No, it's in 22 years. So even without comparing it to Reuben, what's the understanding of these 22 years that they had to be born in that period of time? Question number three, once it's taken away from Reuben, why was it given to Yosef? So you can say, because it's taken from the Bchor of Leah to the Bchor of Rachel. But we're dealing with the Bchor of Yaakov. The din of Pishnaim is totally in the father. The father is the one who gives out as well. So, he who raises on, the Torah says. It's not a din in the mother. So then the question then will be, why, once it's taken away from Reuben, why not give it to Shimon? Why not to Levi? Why not give it to Yosef? So those are three questions I would like to start with. Okay. It says in this weekly, in Parshas Vayechi, Vayishtach Yisrael al Rosh HaMita, what does that mean? That Yaakov Avinu thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Shaita Mitasa Shlema. What does it mean? His bed is complete. All his children are tzaddikim. Veloya barasha, shari Yosef Malachu, Yosef the king, but shenishba leben agoyim, and he was captive amongst goyim, v'areihu oymed b'tzidko, and he's holding on to his tzidkas. Right? Now, I'm sure Yaakov Avinu noticed that Yosef's a tzaddik the moment that he came. This is already after being in Mitzrayim for 17 years. What happened now? What happened now, that now Yaakov Avinu is taking it for the struggle? All my children are tzaddikim. Even Yosef, the one who, you know, was a little bit questionable, he left home at a young age, became a melech, surrounded by goyim, even he's a tzaddik. And therefore now he's taking a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shaitan Mitosa Shlema. What happened now, after seeing Yosef for 17 years, that now Yaakov Avinu has taken a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that Yosef is a tzaddik? Furthermore, right in the beginning of Shmos, it says in the Pasuk, V'yosef v'yavim Yitzrayim. So Rashi spells out there his question, what's the Chiddush? We didn't know that Yosef was in Mitzrayim. We all know he's in Mitzrayim. And says Rashi, Elelo diachatzit kadosh Yosef. It's coming to inform you the tzitzkes of Yosef. Hu Yosef aroe et son aviv. Yosef was the shepherd of his father's sheep. Hu Yosef shehav in Mitzrayim v'na'af samelech. He's Yosef who became a king. V'anehu oymed v'tzitko. And he's still the good old tzaddik that he always was. Rashi, you told that already this week's Pasha. You already said that. So why are you saying it again in Shmos? The kasha is still there. Ma balam denu, says Rashi. What's the pasuk come to tell you? And Rashi is coming to tell you the exact words that you said already in Parshas Vayechi. So what's the pasuk coming to tell you? Re'u oimet betzitzko is the identical words that Rashi used in Shmos and in Vayechi. So what's the chiddush in Shmos more than Vayechi? But if you look carefully in the words, you'll see that Rashi in this expression point starts off that Yosef was a malach and that he was captive amongst goyim. He doesn't mention anything about being a shepherd. That he doesn't say in this expression. Next expression, Shmos, Rashi doesn't say anything about being captive, but he does say he was a shepherd and he became a king. He concludes with a king. So there's two differences between these two Rashi's. Rashi by us starts with a king. Rashi and Shmos concludes with a king. Rashi by us does not mention that he was a shepherd, but does mention that he was captured amongst goyim. Rashi in Shmos, the other way around, does mention that he was a shepherd, but doesn't mention that he was captured amongst goyim. So if you look carefully in the words of Rashi and you look at Rashi's sources, it's very clear. What are the two things that make a person assimilate? And we'll see there's two, and each Rashi is addressing a parallel cause. Rashi, meaning, what makes a person assimilate? Environment. The first thing is to hear him. And status. You know, you become chashev. You're rubbing shoulders with a top goyim in the country. You know? You start forgetting all the where you come from. It's not lashon hara, I could say it. That's what happened to our dear lost brother, Henry Kissinger, if the Olam remembers him. Henry Kissinger, his parents lived right next to my Bubby and Zadie, Olam Hashem, in 50 Overlook Terrace in Washington Heights. Door next to door. The parents of Henry Kissinger. And I remember they told my father, Hashem, when I was there, that before he became so chashuv, he used to call up every Friday to say good Shabbos, even if he was in China. And his wife was Jewish. And he was a Yid. To a certain degree, a Yid. Once he became Secretary of State, you know, the Peace Prize, he divorced his first wife, got married to a Goya, stopped calling on Erev Shabbos, finished. The Shimon Shrobzitzal did not let him speak Kaddish at the Levine of one of his parents. So what happens to him is what happens to regular people. When they become their status, they become ascendant and become so close to them, they forget that they're Jewish. Well, I'm going to talk about Jews. I'm Jewish when I'm speaking to the president. These are the two points that Rashi is saying. Rashi in Parshas Vayechi is pointing out that the environment did not influence Yosef. He's a king. He was captive amongst them. I mean, he was grinding against the Torah. Above them, under them, he wasn't influenced. Rashi in Parshas Shmos is pointing out, look at the change of status that he went through. He started off as a shepherd, ended up as a king, and he's still the same Yosef. So there, clearly, Rashi is focusing on the influence of status. Rashi in our Pasha is focusing on the influence of environment. Okay, fine. But nevertheless, let's still ask, what does the Torah have to elaborate so much? Two psukim, this didn't affect him, that didn't affect him. Just tell me, he didn't assimilate. I got the picture. He's Oymed B'tzitkar. He's the same study that he was always. You have to elaborate status-wise, environment-wise. Like, why are you elaborating? Okay. So that's question number 5, right? Soon you're all going to have to chazer soon. You'll see soon. Now the last pasuk in this parasha is Vayomas Yosef ben Mea v'Esheshanim. Vayichvadu oto v'Vayasa Moshe ba'Aron v'Mitzrayim Chazak Chazak v'Nitchazek. The left pasuk. Yosef died. One of the first psukim in Parashat Shmos. Vayomas Yosef. He died twice. He's the only biblical figure that his Ptira is mentioned in two Chumashim. So the Ramban asked that. What's the pshat that it's mentioned in the Torah that he died twice? So let's call that a question. And the last question for today is, in Parshas Vayetze, once Yosef was born, Yaakov mustered the courage and told Lavan, I want to leave. Vayhi kasher yoda rochel es Yosef, yom Yaakov v'lovan shalcheni. Let me go. Says Rashi, Mishenolat sitano shel Esav, when the antithesis of Esav was born, it's Yosef, he wanted to return. And here Rashi quotes the pasuk in Ovadia, a parable. Vayah bet Yaakov esh, ubet Yosef lahava, ubet Esav lekash. Esh below lahava, a fire without a flame, eino sholet lemerachot, cannot go far. So here's the mashal. If Yaakov is the fire, Yosef the flame, and the flame picks the fire, weiter. What's the nimshal? How do you say, by the way, Nimshal, how do you say Nimshal in English? So, but you're like a public speaker. How do you say Nimshal in English? The moral of the lesson, I guess, okay? But there's a beautiful mashal. Yosef, Yaakov Elis is fire. Yosef Elis is lahava. And poo, the combination of both. What's the Nimshal? In simple English, what's the Nimshal? Yosef is what, and what is Yaakov? So let's repeat the seven questions that we have here today. Okay, question number one, why is Yosef having conditions that Reuben did not have? Question number two is 22. So wait, remember, 2, 22, what's the understanding of these 22 years? Question number three, why once it's taken from Reuben, it's given specifically to Yosef more than anybody else? Question number four, why did Yaakov Avinu now thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why now? That's question number four. He's seen Yosef already for 17 years. Question number five, the two Rashi's that we compared in Parshas Vayechi and Parshas Shmos, and they're coming to bring out that neither influence had any hashpa on Yosef. Why does the Torah have to elaborate so? That's question number five. Question number six, that says that Yosef died twice, and what's the idea behind that? That's question number six. And question number seven, the mashal, we understand, the fire and the flame, what's the nimshal? So Rav Hutna Zatzal, the Pachad Yitzchak, and Maimon Memtes, it's taken from way earlier sources, but he says it in a very clear way. And he brings down that last Rashi of the fire and the flame, and he says, let's go into it. Inyano shel Avram Avinu hu sheyatchila legerim. Avram Avinu, every Av was the first in something. And whatever you're the first at, that's your essence. You know, the beginning sets the tone. Avram Avinu is the first. He's Moshe, he's the first. He's Tchilal again. What was Yitzchak the first? What was he the first about? Kodesh Mirechem. Born Jewish, had a bris milah at the age of 8 days old. That's Yitzchak being first. And we see Akim at Yitzchak, says Baal HaTurim, Akim is Asher Kidesh Yidid Mibetan. That's what Baal HaTurim says on the spot there. What's the firstness of, what's Yaakov Avinu first about? That all his children are tzaddikim. And here it goes into Yiddish, he says, Avram the Erster Geboner, Yitzchak the Erster Geboner, Yaakov the Erster Fafalaner. What does it mean Fafalaner? It means, what does it mean that Yaakov being all his children are tzaddikim? What's the understanding of it? That means if you get married to four wives, there's better chinuch at home. What's the understanding? Avram had two children, one's a tzaddik, one's a rasha. Yitzchak had two children, one's a tzaddik, one's a rasha. Yaakov has 12 children, they're all tzaddikim? Wow! It should have been if the ratio would have been kept, 6-6. So what's the oimek that they're all tzaddikim? It means that the sifting process is over. And now whoever is born Jewish will remain in the family. Till then, there's a sifting process. There's those who don't belong. And we have to ask them kindly, please leave. That's Yishmael and Esav, like sifting flour. From Yaakov Avinu onwards, lo yidach mimeno nidach. It's all in the family. There's no one's going to be from now on asked to leave. And even if someone will do a chet, and if, even if someone will be a rasha, we know that deep, deep down, he's a gavaldi tzaddik. Yisrael afot bishachota, Yisraelu. Where does that come from? Once you're coming from Yaakov Avinu, there's no alternative but kedusha. The Maharal brings down the Chazal a few times that the three brachas of Shmoneh Esrei, the first three brachas of Shmoneh Esrei, are parallel to the three others. Avram, Morgan Avram is parallel to who? Let's try to think about this one. It's parallel to Avram. Priyat Amazim is parallel to Yitzchak after that kid has called it that he was born again. Ata Kodesh is connected Yaakov. It's Kodesh Yaakov. Like we say in Benjamin, Kodesh Yaakov. From Yaakov Avinu onwards, Yaakov Avinu has nothing but Kedusha. So whoever comes from him has nothing but Kedusha. How you may do Averis? It's the Yetzirah. It's the Chitzonim. Deep, deep down, we all know that Jews are tzaddikim. There's many halachas based on this cloud. As you know, you force someone to give a gift, right? All these kind of dinim, because deep, deep down, you know that's what he wants. What's the goal of having this deep, deep down? To guarantee Jewish eternity. You know, if there wouldn't have been this halacha of Yisrael of Mishachot Yisraelu, there wouldn't have been a Baal Tshuva movement. If the halacha Chas V'Shalom would have been, once a person's Mechal Shabbos, he's a goy. So there's no tshuva. It's over. Who keeps us in the fold of Judaism? No matter what we do, Yaakov Avinu. What's the goal of Yaakov Avinu? He's the last Av, to equip us with what it takes to remain forever. Netzach Yisrael. It's not called Netzach Yitzchak or Netzach Avram. Netzach Yisrael. But there's a major loophole that Yaakov Avinu didn't cover. Ein Echinami, once you're born Jewish, you're going to be Jewish forever. And no matter how many times a person will convert to any other religion, Golnish Helfen, but who says you'll be born Jewish? Who guarantees you'll be born Jewish? What I mean, since Allah says if someone gets married to a non-Jewish woman, the children are not Jewish, theoretically, if Chas V'Shalom, all Jewish men get married to Goyot, generation after generation after generation, there won't be a king from Israel. So once you're born Jewish, you're going to remain Jewish. That Yaakov Avinu took care of. But who says you'll be born Jewish? Who will take the koach of Yaakov Avinu to future generations? Says Rav Hutner, here comes Yosef. Here Yosef is completing what Yaakov Avinu started. Yosef that went down to Mitzrayim and did not assimilate, he's a partner with Yaakov Avinu. And he's mashlim, the avos of Yaakov Avinu. So does that mean we have four others? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef? No. Yosef is the hamshach of Yaakov. Because since Yosef, meaning, what does Yaakov still need assistance with? What about assimilation? Unfortunately, we see the assimilation, Nebuch, we lose a lot of Yidden. But who guarantees us that we're going to survive that also? That's the Madriga of Yosef. And you know where the spit was, the peak? When he was Nafta Chutzah, when he ran out from Eshes Potiphar, which is the woman which is offered him. And he ran out, this gave an injection to Am Yisrael, but that we're going to remain forever. This is taken, of course, from way, way earlier sources. This is the Madriga of Yosef. You could connect here the Nakuda that it says when that Nisayin of Eshes Potiphar happened, what does it say? So according to Rashi, one opinion, Yosef was about to fail. Ela sheniratalo tmut diyuk meshal aviv. He saw the image of his father in the window. What does Rashi mean? So you go to psychologists, they'll have a they'll go to town on this one. You know, the father image, guilt, tough childhood, and the chinami. But according to what we're learning today, what does it mean? He saw that he has to mashlin complete what his father started, and therefore the oymed in this Mitzrayim, he'll complete the avodah of Yaakov. Because Yaakov is to guarantee Netzach Yisrael, without guaranteeing that assimilation won't chas v'shalom wipe us out, Yaakov did not finish his job. So Yosef, not assimilating, is completing what Yaakov Avinu started. So what is Yosef? He is the flame, and Yaakov is the fire. Fire is local, meaning once you're born Jewish, you're going to remain Jewish. But who says you're going to be, the future generations will be Jewish? The flame takes the fire weiter. That's Yosef. He's taking the koach of Yaakov to future generations, guaranteeing the people will be born Jewish, and once they're born Jewish, Yaakovino takes care of that. So that answers that question. Question number 7, what's the nimshach? Okay. So what is the status of Yosef? Yosef is an av and a ben. He's one of the boys, from one point of view. The other point of view, he's a shutas, a partner with Yaakovino's fatherhood. So what is he then? Av ben, a combination. Look at Rashi says that Mefesh in this week's Pasha. A hard foot in the bracha of Yosef, it says, Vateshev Eitan Kashto, Evan Yisrael. Says Rashi, you know what Evan stands for? Nutrikon. Av ben. Evan means Av ben. That's what Rashi says. And that is the essence of Yosef, that he is both. Okay. Now, the Ramban that Dhamma Teshmai says, that Sefer Breishis is Sefer Ha'avos, and Sefer Shmois is Sefer Ha'banim. So the Avos, when it's reported that they died in Sefer Breishis, that the Shvatim died instead of Sefer Shmois, and that Yosef died, where's Nashen? And by both. Why both? Because he has this dual identity. It's the last pasuk of Breishis, which means the last element of Av. And the Esim is the first pasuk in Shmois. After it says El Shmois B'nei Yisrael, that's Chazar. Yosef is mentioned in both Chumashim because he has a dual identity. Erez Av, and Erez Oichet Hashevet. So he's mentioned in the Sefer of the Oves, and he's mentioned in the Sefer of the Shvatim. That's what the points out. So when it comes to fighting assimilation, who's our father? Who's our Av? Yosef. Now, the Torah always elaborates with the others what they did. And the Ramban says, Ma'isa Ovis, Simon Labanim. When it comes to Ovis, the Torah elaborates Kritzei Pratim, because it's Hadracha, it's guidance, it's Chinuch to us. So how, we ask the question, why is the Torah elaborating so much? That this didn't influence them, that didn't influence them. The point is, because we're not just going to tell you, Yosef is a good guy. If that's what the Torah wanted to say, one plus it would have been enough. The Torah is coming to tell us, how do you fight assimilation? The Torah says, don't allow the status to affect you, don't allow the environment to affect you. Once it's guidance, you have to elaborate. You got to tell them what to do. I got to understand what to do. Since Yosef's role, finding assimilation, is the role of an av, here the Torah elaborates to very fine details how it was done, because Ma'aseh Avos, Siman Labanim. So that takes care of that question, why Yaakov Avinu, why is the Torah elaborating so much? This didn't affect them, and that didn't affect them. What's the first step of assimilation, if we think about it? If we looked at people that assimilated, what was that first preliminary stage? Look at the Siddur of the Reform movement, what they published in the 1800s. You know what's the only change they made? You know what it was? They took out Yerushalayim. We don't want to go back to Yerushalayim. We like it here in Germany. We like it here. And then we know what happened afterwards. Right? The first step of assimilation is I forget where I come from and where I'm supposed to be going to. Namely, I forget about Eretz Israel. I start back here. I'm here! I'm here! Yaakov for sure knew that Yosef is a tzaddik. He thought throughout the 17 years, undoubtedly. But maybe he thought to himself, you know, he's a king here. He's having Bentley cars coming in and out the whole time. Maybe he started to like it here, and he forgot about Eretz Yisrael. And that's the first step of assimilation. When Yosef made a shvuah to his father, Abba, I'll return you to Eretz Yisrael. I know that's where we belong. Here, Yaakov got the last assurance that Yosef did not assimilate at all. As long as we remember that we belong in Yerushalayim, then we want to assimilate. Then we're not going to assimilate. So what happened now after 17 years? Now Yosef showed his allegiance to Eretz Israel. Ah! That means you didn't assimilate at all. So you're not in love with Mitzrayim? You're not in love with America? You're not in love with England? That means you didn't assimilate at all. That takes care of question number 4. Okay. Why was it given over to Yosef specifically, this present of Shvatim? Because that's the rule. There's a rule. Who could give birth to Shvatim? Only Yaakov. Only Yaakov could. Abram doesn't have Shvatim. Yisro doesn't have Shvatim. And Shvatim don't have Shvatim. You got to be Yaakov or Yaakov Dick. How would you say Yaakov Dick in English? Yaakov Light. I don't know what. You got to be a little bit Yaakov. Once it's taken away from Reuben, whatever the reason is, we'll see soon, it's given to the other one who's Yaakov Dick. We'll explain this in a minute, Reuben's role, and therefore Yosef is the one who got these Shvatim. When was Yosef Yaakov Dick? His whole life, from the day he was born till the day he died? When was he in the role? When was he wearing the hat of Yaakov? When he didn't assimilate in those 22 years. Up to that stage, he's one of the boys. He's at home in Canaan. From that stage onwards, his family already joined him. And they're all there in Eretz Goshen. When was he single-handed finding assimilation? And with that, by thus doing so, he's completing the role of Yaakov Avinu in those 22 years that he's all by himself in Mitzrayim, and he has this nisyonis of assimilating. So Yaakov Avinu tells Yosef like this. Yaakov is telling us like this. My entire Yosef, when you were me, your children will be Shvatim. You have a right of having two children to become Shvatim. But you got to be Yaakov Dick to be Shvatim. When were you Yaakov Dick in the 22 years that you did not assimilate? Therefore, Ata, Shnei Banecha, Odim Lecha, Ad Bo'i Elecha Mitzrayim. Up to, prior, before my birth, before my arrival. Meaning, when you were me, then the Shvatim will be Shvatim. Well, be if Yosef would have had these children, Ephraim and Menashe, at the age of 40, 41, 42, they wouldn't have been Shvatim. Why not? Because then Yosef is not wearing the hat of Yaakov anymore. He's wearing his own hat. He's a Shevet. A Shevet doesn't give birth to a Shevet. You got to be Yaakov to give birth to Shevet. And when he was wearing Yaakov Avinu's hat, then it's true. Then it's about him. What about Reuben? How does Reuben become Yaakov Dick? So this Rabbi Yonason David, Rafutna's son-in-law, once told me, he said it in English, and really, there's a very clear way how to say it. Reuben is a poor. What's the difference between a poor and other children? He gets two portions. Why? What did the poor do more than other children? He made the father into a father. Before the poor was born, the father was a bocher. After the poor is born, he gives him the title father. So Reuben, by the mere fact he was born, he's a partner with Yaakov Avinu's fatherhood. He made him into a father. Reuben doesn't have this issue of 22 years. Reuben is a shutaf, a partner in Yaakov Avinu's fatherhood by the mere fact that he was born first, and he made Yaakov Avinu into a father. Rabbi Yonason David told him like this: Reuben made Yaakov into a father. Yosef keeps Yaakov Avinu a father. And that's mamash the definition. A person could be a father, but if chas v'shalom he loses his children, he's always father. So it's true that Reuben started off making Yaakov Avinu to a father. But who's going to keep Yaakov Avinu a father? Who's going to make sure that he won't lose those children? Who's going to make sure that he won't lose those children? Here comes Yosef. And he won't allow them to assimilate. So therefore, they're both Yaakov Dick. Reuben's Yaakov Dick by being born. Yosef is Yaakov Dick by enabling his father to remain a father and not losing children to assimilation. I just want to say over a point. I'm going to ask Michila from Rabbi Akiva because I said it to Shemba, they already heard me. But first of all, Rabbi Akiva, who's sitting here, knows that who's assisting Rabbi Akiva and his friends is the Madrega of Yosef. Od Yosef Chai. Yosef is alive. Any Jew who will take upon himself to fight assimilation, he's guaranteed to be Mitzliach. Who's going to give him the petrol? Yosef. Because that's what Yosef gave to the Jewish people. I just want to conclude with this. When you think about it, when Yosef met Paro, I just want to elaborate on this point with that finish. One more minute. How many years was Yosef in jail? 12 years. 12 years he was in jail. From the age of 18 to the age of 30. He was in the pit. Full of mice, rats. It wasn't like today. Today jail is a machaya. I mean, I never was there, but I can imagine. There's water, there's gas, there's electricity. It's large. But then it was a pit. It was Ayin Manara. He was the lowest of lowest. Yosef. He was in charge of that pit. Okay, good. And the king in those days has unlimited power. He could kill someone on the spot. Look what Paro did to Sarah Oifin. On his birthday, let's kill him. Why? Did he have to go to court, Supreme Court, public opinion, the press? Yes. He's appointed for life, and his power is unlimited. It's absolute power. It's very important that Yosef should find favors in the eyes of Paro. Because when Yosef will come to Paro, Paro could say, kill him. I don't like what he said. Kill him. They'd kill him in no time. Put him back to jail for the rest of his life. Or even appoint him a king. Paro could do anything. It's so important for Yosef to find favor in the eyes of Paro. His faith is in his hands. Right? Now, when Yosef came out, they had to give him a shave the first time. They had to wash him up. You know, after being 12 years in these kind of conditions, he wasn't presentable. And he comes to Paro. And he's going through one door and another door. And asked, where is he going to? He's going to meet the king. From the pit to the king? Absolutely, that's what's happening. Probably never happened before in this time, such a kind of event. If Yosef would have asked your opinion, should I tell him now that I'm Jewish? Because remember, Paro's a bit of a desire. Should I tell him that I have allegiance with God? What would you tell him? Should you say it or not? We would say, don't. Get out of jail first. Once you're out of jail, then write him a letter one day that you're Jewish. But now, when everything's so crucial, and you're speaking there for 2 minutes, in these 2 minutes you got to tell him that you're Jewish? Don't take off your kapel. Don't look Jewish. And just walk in like, you know, like a goy. Okay. What did Yosef do? The first word that he said out of jail, when Paro tells him, you know, I heard you solve dreams, and I got a dream that I'm thinking, tell me pshat. So what does Yosef say, the first word? Bil Adai. What does Bil Adai mean? Me? I don't have any wisdom. Yeah. Elokim Yaneh Shlom Paro. Hashem will answer Shlom Paro. The Torah doesn't record what Paro responded on that one. But I think, I could imagine they told Sarah Mashkin, who's Elokim? What is this guy talking about? This is the one you recommended? You know, if he doesn't start speaking sense, you and him will join Sarah Eichen. It'll be a Zimun, the three of you. I'm sure that's what he probably said. But he's in distress. He has this dream which is bothering him. He tells him the dream. And Yosef says, Elohim, 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 five times. In a minute and a half conversation. ועל ישנות החלום פעמיים כי נכון הדבר מאים אלוקים וממהר אלוקים לעשותו. Unbelievable. You want the courage of that? It's unbelievable courage. And what happens at the end? Paul says, המנצא כזה איש אשר רוח אלוקים בו? Paul saying אלוקים. 3 minutes ago, he didn't even know what it meant. אחרי הודיע אלוקים אותך, Paul says אלוקים פעמיים. You're great. By the way, who's Elohim? I'm sure that's what Paul said. Yosef's telling us something. Here's another way how to fight assimilation. Don't hide the fact that you're Jewish. You don't have to take off the yarmulke, only for the Pikuach Nefesh. You don't. There's a time to take off the yarmulke. And we'll wear a couple, and they won't say we're Jewish. By the way, you think it helps? You think they don't know you're Jewish immediately? They'll just look at your nose. What do you think? That's passion. But like Yosef is saying, I'm a Jew and I'm proud and I say it out loud. And on that minute and a half that he had the stage with Paul, he mentioned the name of Elohim 5 times. He's a brave man. But he did it because he knows that's his role. I'm going to teach future generations, don't hide the fact you're Jewish. Say it again and again. And you know what? The Goyim will respect you even more. That's what he's saying. Look what Paul did to him. Paul was impressed with his honesty. And Paul appointed him a king. I always get conclude. I have a brother-in-law called Ari Bergman, who's a big Eloi. And he started working in Bankers Trust in America. There's 15,000 workers in the building in Manhattan. And he came the first day with the yarmulke. So of course all the Jews first came and said, can't have a yarmulke here. It's $7. It's your business. You're not going to get promoted. You won't get bonuses. I'm telling you, take off your yarmulke. You are hit him up. Take it off. So Ari said to himself, no, if I have to take off my yarmulke, I don't want to work here. I'll work elsewhere. I want to stay with my yarmulke. He stayed with his yarmulke. It definitely helped him. He was an Eloi, and he was promoted. In a year and a half, he reached the top 120 people. And the Goyim used to tell him, you see, we don't know who's Jewish here? We smell them a mile away. But you're proud of it. They're embarrassed of it. We respect you. As a result that Ari was so promoted, other Jews started putting yarmulkes. There's a minion from Mincha Maariv there even. A lot of times we put on ourselves too much censorship. I guess Limud Zchus, we suffered so much from the Goyim. We understand where it comes to this fear. But Yosef tells us, don't hide the fact that you're Jewish. It won't help. And be proud of it. And that's the way to fight assimilation. Od Yosef Chai. Okay.